Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, hi there. This is Martina Cappuccino, known as Dr. Cappuccino. Coming here from Los Angeles, California. Right here where it's nice and sunny, but it's sunny anywhere, then God is on your side. We're going to start the Hour to Power, Power Up on the show right now. But we're going to begin it with a word of prayer. What can we do without prayer? Father God, Father of God, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, the only name given under heaven by which man may be saved. There are millions of names, those that have come before and that you said would come after. But your name, according to Psalm 33:18, is Jehovah. You called yourself the God of the universe. And you start this scripture off in the declaration page. We praise you, we worship you, we honor you, we give you glory, we walk in glory, we talk about your glory, we pronounce your glory, hallelujah, from the end of the earth, because you were given the strength and power of purpose. When our mommy and daddy laid down and all of those sperm were shot out, all the others died, but you let one sperm hit that egg. Hallelujah, and it does. So there's a purpose for life. There's a reason for us being alive. And we thank and praise your holy name. God, we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's show is going to have a topic that begins with peace, health, love, and happiness. But some people might say, nothing is working in my life. What can I do? Well, it appears that the more good you do, the worse things seem to get. You find your children out of control, things up and hit you. Your spouse cannot be trusted to tell the truth or to show any form of affection. You hate your job and those on the job. And no matter how much you try, you're saying to yourself that nothing seems to work. Nor are conditions getting better. Nothing seems to get better. What is going on? What can I do? Well, our show this week is going to discuss why things are out of control in the world and in your life, and how to stand strong, even in spite of these conditions. My goodness, with turnaround suggestions. Well, you know what? Things are seemingly out of control because of a reason. Because of only one reason. There is a foe against man. There is a force, a power, a force that is against anything good in man. And last week's lesson identified this force, this formerly godly force, of none other but Satan himself. But we're going to concentrate on how we can avoid unnecessary contact with this demonic form, and also seven ways of how we can get things turned the right way and in the name of God. Well, for starters, nothing is working in your life because you have not made up your mind to live your life in the way that God approves. Sure, even if you do so, being human, being made out of flesh, being made out of dust, having blood and sinew, my goodness. You know, getting well, there's going to be issues that might seem to work against any good that you might want to bring into your life. But nevertheless, number one, when we make up our minds to live a godly life, things change for the better. When we say, for God I live, and if necessary, for God I die, the forces of the universe has got to stretch out to make sure you're able to do just that. Live for God, and then when it's our time and expiration, because our mission has been completed, hey, then that's it. But if everything seems to be chaotic in your life, friends are just turning on you left and right, you don't know where to turn, you have money in the bank, but still things just don't seem to be going your way. Make up your mind that you're going to start living a godly life. What is a godly life? According to Zephaniah and Zechariah, it is loving your neighbor, it's loving God, living in truth, others ahead of ourselves. There's nothing wrong with that. That doesn't mean you don't love yourself. It means you really love yourself because you're able to go forward and do good works for others. But that's all a component of living a godly life. Prayer is another form of living a godly life. You're communicating with God. You're saying that even if you have to say this, I don't know if you're there. I know what's going on in the lives of others, but I don't know if you're there. I don't know what you're doing. But I'm going to look into your word. I'm going to get advice on how to live a godly life according to your word. And I'm going to put my best foot forward because of your word. Making up our mind to live a godly life is going to take away a lot of chaos and a lot of problems. I tell you what, I told a sister of mine, I said, things are going crazy in your life. Neighbors are turning on you. Everywhere you move, your problem. I said, this is what you can do to stop this charade of evil. Every day, every night, when you come out of your apartment, have the biggest Bible you can afford to buy and carry up under your shoulder, up under your arm. If people see you going in and out with that, they're going to do one or two things, or both. They're going to leave you alone. They're going to stop causing trouble for you because they're going to see that Bible and know it's not worth it. They're going to say, well, maybe they have gone crazy. They're not going to say you're hiding behind the Bible of God because that's exactly what you're doing. I said, even if you don't read it, just put it up under your arm, walk out with it, put it in your car, take it in your car, you get out your car and walk that long walkway where all eyes are on you. Put that Bible under your arm, get out the car, walk with it. Again, every time someone sees you standing out in the yard, watering the lawn, have the Bible up under your arm. Now, that's going to work. You can do that for 2-3 weeks, maybe a month, but you want to set a new stage, a new tone for getting chaos out of your life. Those people won't bring it because they're going to fear God. They may not know anything about him, may not know the name of the Son of Jesus. It doesn't matter. They're going to fear that God. So living a godly life, saying yes to God and whatever he wants you to do, that's going to lift the burden of problems and trouble. You'll be able to see a lot of things in your life that are not right disappear when you make up your mind to live a godly life. Secondly, people hate everybody. People hate their jobs. They hate their neighbors. They hate their friends. They hate their parents. Some even say, doctor, I hate my kids. There's a lot of hate going on out there. So when nothing is really working in your life, put a stopgap on that hate button. Push that anti-hate button in your life. Say, I don't care what they do. I'm going to show them love. My daddy said, when you find yourself surrounded by enemies, love the hell out of them. The Bible says God is love. So when you practice loving others, you're putting God on them. When you're making up your mind to live a godly life, you're walking in God, so you're going to put God ahead of everything. You go in your home, out your home, God, God, God. So when people are threatening your enemies, know that you're walking in godliness, and that's all you have to offer is the more God. And they may not want God. They're going to leave you alone, of course. But put some love out there on the table. Put some love out there. Things are going to change for you. If you throw out love, you're going to get love back. Now, some I don't want any love. I don't care about that. I love myself. That's enough. No, it's not enough. If you get hit on the street, walking the street, you're going to want somebody with a loving heart to rush over there and try to keep you alive until an ambulance arrives. If you're in a car accident, same thing. If you're out in the body, your purse gets snatched or your wallet gets lifted by a shoplifter, you want somebody with a loving heart to come over there and coming directly to your rescue. That is what you exactly need. You don't want anything else. That's what you want. This is what you want to show forth in your life. So that should be number one. Number three, and I'm going to give you some very, very good advice. Number three is just at the top of the line. Number three, say, yes, God, whatever you want me to do, I'm going to do it. A lot of people are having problems because they're trying to live their own life in some form of godliness, not really knowing what God requires. You cannot do it. Jeremiah, the 23rd chapter, in the 10th verse, said and proclaimed that it does not belong to me to directly go step. So that means you better put your life in God's hands. You're going to say, whatever it takes, whatever I've got to do, whatever I've got to give up, whatever I've got to stop seeing, whatever I've got to stop taking from others, I'm going to stop. Because I'm turning my life over to God. I'm turning my life over to God. I'm going to do it. I don't know what it's going to take. But my life, I'm turning over to God. And that's that. And can't nobody stop me. Number four, this is another way that you can turn things around in your life so that something will be working for good. You're going to ask God this question. God, what must I do to be saved? What must I do to live a godly life? What must I do to stop hating others? What must I do to turn my life over to you? And then you're going to wait for an answer. God is an answer God. Sure, he speaks through thunder, through lightning, through earthquake, but he's an answering God. So when we ask God to show us what he would have us to do in this life and the one to come, he's going to do it. He's going to show you by maybe a statement someone says or something you might read in a book. But you want God to show you what to do with your life. Tell him you're going to stop running it your way. Tell him you're going to stop running it your mother's way. You want to run your life the way God approves. And because he's Savior, your Father of life, your heavenly Father, the Father within, the Father without, he's the Father. Your earthly Father might not have been any good according to statistics and neighbors and other people that might have known him. He might have walked away and left you. He might have said you're never going to be anything. You're not worth anything. You're never going to amount to anything. But what does he know? When God got you in conception and formed you in your mom's belly, what did he know? He was probably somewhere drinking and chasing women, even if he wasn't. What does he know? Only the Bible can look through the flesh into the embryo and form you in the way that he would have you walk. Go back to that. Tell God to take you all the way back to when you were being formed and to create in you a new heart and a new spirit. Then and only then will you be able to have God show you what to do with your life. Another way you can end a lot of this chaos in your life is the number one thing, recognizing God's Son. You know, God sent his Son down through 42 generations, through all the generations of men that have came before him to set man free. He went all the way to Golgotha, was crucified naked. You see the little parts around him on the torture stake, on some of the crosses? They just put that there as painless the modesty, naked, shamefully. Tell him that you're going to follow in his footsteps. Tell his Father, God, Jehovah, that you're going to follow his footsteps. That's going to end some chaos because the chaos makers, the mess makers in your life, it's going to cut tail and run off. They're not going to want nothing to do with you. That's a good way to get started. Tell God to show you what to do with your life and to lead your life. Lead your life. Tell him, I didn't walk in sin for 50 years. I'm tired of it. It ain't got me nothing. I'm just about homeless now. Can't pay my bills. Dodging creditors left and right. I've already messed up. I messed up. Now, God, it's your turn. I'm giving my life over to you. I'm not going to play with you anymore. I'm not going to play church. I'm going to live the church from within. I'm going to be a walking, living example to those in the community. Another way we can end a lot of chaos in life is to forgive anybody and everything and everyone for whatever they've done. The Bible says there's none, not one, that doeth good. But tell God, I'm going to get on the road. I'm going to get on the good highway, the highway of good. I'm going to forgive my mama, my daddy, my sister, my brother, my neighbor, my friend, my coworker. I don't care what they've done, and I don't care what they're getting ready to do. I'm forgiving them in advance. I'm paying forward my forgiveness. I don't care what they do because I know in the end, the grave calls every name. So what am I walking around for, hating and poisoning my own body with hate, not forgiving? What are they? You said all men have a chance to come to the tree of righteousness and drink of the fountain of life. So who am I to just keep walking around in envy and jealousy and hatefulness, not forgiving? Let those people alone. Let them go. Say, Godspeed. If you can, pick up the phone and tell someone I forgive you. Write them a letter. You don't need a return address in the upper left-hand corner. Just forgive these goats, these human beings, these anything. People, forgive them. Let them go. Tell God to take them as far as east and from west. Walk in forgiveness, no matter what is said to you, no matter what. You're going to live a longer life just by one act of forgiveness. You are forgiving anyone of anything to get the chaos outside. Because when you hold on to hate and pain and grief, guess what? You're going to attract hate and pain and grief. What you give out is coming back. Forgive, and the Bible says your Father who is in heaven will forgive you of your sins. Don't you want to be forgiven for embezzling money? Don't you want to be forgiven, whether they know about it or not? God is the last say and the last word, whether they know what you're doing or not. Just tell God and stop. Don't you want forgiveness for lying and living a life of crime and violence? Don't you want forgiveness? Man can't give you that kind of forgiveness and then add peace of mind on top of it. Only God can. Only God can. Only the Creator God. So you want to walk and start living in forgiveness because God is watching. God is looking. Your boss might be laying asleep at 3 in the morning, but God isn't. Say, God, forgive me first so that I can forgive others. Forgive me first. Put yourself first now. Tell God to forgive you first so that you can live a life of forgiveness for others. Secondary, start helping other people. When your life is crazy, sickly, hatey, start looking for someone you can do something for. Tell God to show you somebody that's worse off than you. Give them something. Promise them something. Take them somewhere. Throw them a bone if necessary. Go out and find someone new you can give a $10 bill to. Watch how you feel. Just knowing you're taking care of your brother is enough for God. You're giving out goodness, so how can you have chaos in your life? You're giving out, paying out all with goodness and joy and cheer on the top of someone else's life. When you're at your lowest, it's going to come back. What goes around, come around. You go out and start helping others, how's your life going to be chaotic? Because now you're on a turnaround spin. Hey, like a turnaround bus. You're on a turnaround spin. You're out there giving and helping. Giving and helping is going to be dropped in your lap when you least think about it and when you need it the most. Start giving, and when you need somebody to give you something, it's going to be there. So that's going to take chaos out of your life. How can chaos and goodness reign in the same temple? It's not going to happen. Peace and joy and cruelty and wickedness in the same room. It's not going to happen. The Bible says love never fails. So goodness and love is going to win out. Maybe slow, may not look like it, but it's going to win out. Next in line is this. Anyone that you know that's in a hospital, even if you don't know who's in, take a stop by the hospital. Tell those at their lowest, if you got 6 weeks to live, one day a week, just even if you don't go in, just walk by hospital and hold your hand up and say, God is. God is. Angels is over every hospital, receiving the dead, taking care of the ill in the name of the doctor. Walk by or drive by a hospital once a week. Hallelujah. And just say, God is. Just say, God is. We know Satan the devil is the originator of sickness and death. Just drive by a hospital, circle it if you can, and just say, God is. Watch it turn around. If you think I'm playing, contact me at MotherNature7@gmail.com. Tell me your testimony. Chaos and hell is in your life. Nothing seems to be working. Get in your car and drive by a hospital. I don't care if it's 50 blocks. Just drive around a hospital. Drive by a hospital and hold your right hand up and say, God is. Watch grief and pain be took away. Hallelujah. By his stripes we were healed. Hallelujah. The hospital is that they're receiving tank. It's a holding tank. All power, health, good health comes from God. All strength, the Bible psalmist says, comes all my help coming from the Lord. God is my deliverer. He's my everything. So you want chaos, problems, hell out your life, but nothing seems to work? This is the steps to take. And most of all, stay in prayer. You might say, well, I don't know how to pray. You don't have to know how to pray. Just say, oh, God, in the name of Jesus, take me in. Take me back. Show me. Take me back. Show me the way back. Take me back. I'm prodigal. I'm running to you right now. In the name of Jesus, take me back. And when I see your face and you see mine, just know that I'm for real. I'm coming to you for real this time. I haven't been hanging around, talking around. Take me back, God. Let the world know that I'm your child, and I'll let them know that you're my Father in heaven. That's all you got to do. And then most of all, in closing, find a child that you can hug. You know, it used to be a saying, hug a tree. You know, it still works. People that have come down with stage 6 cancer, stage 5 cancer can hardly walk. They found their way to a park to start hugging a tree. They said the strength and the turnaround is remarkable, powerful. Find a child that you can smile in its face to. Find the child. Go to a park and just watch children play. Watch how they act with each other. Watch their clean, pure spirit. Watch how they act. That will take you all the way back just by watching them. You'll be renewed. You'll be restored. Just being around children, watching children at play. And just know that God is watching you. Now, you know, there's still a lot of things going on that people need help with. And the Dr. Cappuccino Show is in effect and a force to do just that. We're here for you. You can always call me at 424-634-9615. Leave me a message if I don't pick up. I usually pick my cell phone number up directly. But if I'm not, leave me a message. If you want prayer, I sleep with my cell phone. Just call the phone. If I don't get it on your first call, I'll call you back. If you need prayer for anything, You need prayer to chase the demons away. You need prayer to take Satan out of your life, keep him at bay. You need prayer to help take pain and sickness out of your body. You need prayer for your finances. You need me to put my hand over your head through a cell phone and say, God, turn him around. Just give me a word. I'm there. Thank you so much for tuning in to the Dr. Cappuccino Show. Love you, need you, and don't want to talk without you. Show up next week. We have a secret message for those that's not living in secret, that's living out for God and for their people, for their community, for their neighbor. We love you. Same place next time. The Dr. Cappuccino Show, Hour of Power.